Wow, yesterday was like scribing through a snowfall. So much energy was flowing in. No surprise, it was day 12. Transparency equals trust. She was beginning to discover this through her direct experience. A few years later, when she was in the Brazilian Amazon, she met a Swiss-German man whom she befriended. They wrote letters for a while, which was so essential to her then. She would spill to him the acceleration of what she was experiencing. Once he replied this. He was always so tender, so insightful. Ella, don't you know that your vulnerability is your strength? This had never occurred to her. She had always thought that vulnerability was, well, vulnerability, that it was somehow inherent in itself, a weakness. Uli set her straight. She got it. She understood. From that day forward, she always respected herself and her seemingly natural ease with being vulnerable. There were lots of opportunities for this in her evolving years. It was during her preparations for her first excursion in solo touring that this concept first appeared. Unbeknownst to anyone outside of her, she was being trained, initiated by unseen intelligence. She had never heard the word guide before, at least not in this context. To her, a guide was a tracker in a very physical sense. Growing up in rural Quebec, a guide was a trapper or a bush guide of some sort. So she was familiar with the concept, yet not quite in this way. Silently, invisibly inside of her, she was being trained. Trained to sense subtle energy as it led her in. She was aware that these experiences were novel. She could sense they were not common, partly because she had never heard anyone ever speak of them. Not any of her mentors, her peers, or choreographers. No one had ever peeped a word, ever, about this. And so she sensed she was in an incubator, an experiment of some sort, a discovery of how to awaken one up to the source. For she was held in such tender love consistently through all of this. A love so deep there was nothing else she had ever experienced quite like this. This all began in her awareness of it, for evidently it had been preparing her for many years. And as she was alone in her tranquility, healing her fractured spine. The first of these was chanting. She simply knew she was to chant. She had heard of it once or twice, wafting from Brielle's room. Brielle was a principal dancer with Le Grand Ballet Canadien. Ella visited her from time to time. As her elder mentor, she took Ella in. As if under her wing, she took young Ella in. The first time Ella was arriving outside of Brielle's door, she heard the wafts of chanting and she stepped back from Brielle's door. She didn't want to disturb this, and so she went away out for a walk. When she returned a brief while later, the chanting, it had stopped. She knocked lightly upon the front door, and so refreshed and glowing, Brielle bid her in. Ella apologized for being late. She expressed that she had not wanted to disturb. Brielle laughed, tossing her head back, wafting her shining hair aloft with it. A twinkle in her eyes, she said so quaintly, you could never disturb this. This magnetic, stellar performer revealed to Ella that this, it was her trick. Chanting, she said, was her sanity. It helped her to stay calm amid the pressures of performing, amid the pressures of her swan song. For Brielle was a chosen one, chosen by every choreographer who ever came, plus the audiences at home and two now on tour. They loved her all the same. And so when she recently announced it that she would soon be leaving the bright lit stage, she aroused a wave of heartfelt grieving, yet she would retire soon, just the same. Chanting kept her tranquil, chanting kept her calm, chanting kept her centered, chanting kept her strong. And so, akin to asking Helga to teach her yoga, Ella asked Brielle to teach her this. And she did. So, as Ella was healing her spine amidst hours and countless hours of alone time, she began to feel the inner nudge that it was time for her to chant. As she would sit in her bedroom, her gaze set upon a single eye of a radiant bird upon her Persian rug, which was poised high up upon her wall, she would tap into a well high above her head, and soon she knew, she recognized that this is what he had spoken of. She could feel it high above her, out somewhere in the cosmic field, the infinite pool of intelligence that Carl Jung, he spoke of. In absolute wonder, she began to drink like a newborn fawn, thirsty for its waters. Unabashed and apolitical, she began to sip from this ancient pool. This was the first time she ever consciously experienced downloads, incoming, inflowing to her intelligence from beyond form. It was just like dictation, receiving a Morse-like code. It was pure and it was potent. It was like a homeopathic dose. Without any effort, none whatsoever on her part, she would simply sit and chant and receive this. She would simply let this in. She had never even heard of this from any source before. It was a brand new and fascinating experience just for her. She would be told in words and pictures, plus via movements of energy, what it was she was being asked to do and how and where and when. It was dictation, pure and simple, from a source beyond herself, and all she was to do was receive it. It would do all of the rest. And so this became her silent pact with this as yet unnamed eternal source, that she would always listen and receive. She would passionately commit to bring it in. And so she was shown, she was literally shown all of the dances and all of the lights with zero effort at all on her part. She was shown how to solo tour. No one apprenticed her, in the flesh, that is. Yes, she was apprenticed. She was apprenticed by the light. The only person she breathed a word to about what was happening was Doran, for she knew that she could trust him to keep this safe and sound. For with it came a clear and tender request, yet with a serious air surrounding it, that she never breathe a word of this to anyone other than him, because this was an experiment in how to wake up a sleeping child, a child meaning a human whose mind had fallen in a rut. For nearly all of humanity had fallen asleep to God, and Ella, she was an experiment in how to wake them up. None of this went to her head. With Doran beside her, she had enough. Her preparations for solo touring were truly fascinating, and to the complete healing of her spine. Yet this all seemed normal in a very short time, as it was all just transpiring. In rehearsal, she knew every time she began a run-through of the program that she would be performing soon in Germany, to never stop once she began. Intuitively, she knew this, that it was imperative for her confidence, that her ego, it feel assured that no matter what happened on the stage, that nothing would her deter. And so, in the moments just before she would begin a run-through, she would prepare herself to dance right to the end. This was the beginning. It was the seed for all else aft. It was the seed of her fierce focus. Zero distractions would ever, ever knock her from her path. For what the dance it was preparing her for would become something quite enormous, and she would need such intense focus to never veer from her sacred course. Of course, she was still innocent. She didn't know yet about this. It would be many years of preparation before she got this drift, and by then she would be so far along that nothing would allure to draw her focus, her keen, keen focus, away from this, her course. She only began to notice how undeterrable her focus it had become when one evening, while on her first German tour, she crossed the audience's path. She was backstage in Dusseldorf, and the Paul Taylor Dance Company was there too. And as they encountered each other in the dressing room, she was recognized by Constantine. They had danced together in Gaetan's company before they each left for other pastures, and unexpectedly to either of them, they met once more, here. Constantine called her name. She barely noticed, so deep was her concentrated track. It was only then, in that moment, that she realized how deep she was. Then, in that instant, she recognized this state of trance. It was a realm of being in deep meditation. This was where she was. This meditation would become so vital, so essential to her dance, for nothing could deter her from dropping deep, deep in. For what she does when she solo dances is she disappears into the light. She truly vanishes from the physical. She charts the way into the light. She was shown, too, by this unseen intelligence, how she was to rehearse, to this perform, for the normal way would be insufficient to prepare her for this. She had before, while she was on tour with Gaetan's company, been guided, though she didn't realize it then, she had been guided already in how to do this. She would lie down on her hotel bed, and while her colleagues, they did sleep, she would do this. She would relax her entire body, which she would simply let it fall. All of her muscles and her true body weight, she would deeply let it fall. And once her body was deeply resting, she would then begin this. She would, with her eyelids closed, begin to deep look in. She would see herself as if upon the stage, and she would dance all of her roles, noticing keenly her entrances and exits and precisely where she set her clothes. For there would often be swift costume changes, and this was what fluttered her the most. It was not the choreography, it was all that was between. For she realized in her early touring days that we rehearse for what is unknown. We rehearse not for what is predictable, we rehearse for what is not. And so as she lay there in absolute stillness, not even a tiny muscle did as much as twitch, she would be watching, astutely watching, in her inner visual field of sight. Until she could see it perfectly, everything she would dance that night. And only then, yes, only then, my friends, would she let the music in. She called this bare bones rehearsing. She would see the skeleton, the structure first, and then she would put flesh upon this. It was then she would let the music in. This, it was her process of preparing for the stage. And so she knew to do this now again, for this, her first solo tour. There was something else she intuitively knew she was to do. Before every performance on this, her first solo tour, she would prepare the space so the audience could come in. With her eyes closed and poised in stillness, she would envisage the theater from the audience's vantage, not the performer's first. And then she would do this. She would see the seats throughout the entire theater, and she would see the people as they were serenely flowing in. And when all of the people were settled in their seats, she would close the doors as if great sliding doors, as if the great doors on a ferry ship. And once the doors were closed, she would seal the energy field. She would fill the space with white light energy. She would fill it completely with white light. I am the form. Let the energy do the work. This became her mantra. For part of what she was being apprenticed in was how to move with less effort. And so one day, as she was on the subway, and it was taking so long to arrive at the studio door, for she was so eager to rehearse, she stumbled upon this. She had attended a meditation class once, and in it she learned this: how to run energies via the energetic unseen channels in the flesh. She had no idea yet of Chinese medicine and meridians, or of the meticulously mapped nadis, the energy pathways discovered by Indian saints. Not yet. And yet she did, in the innocence of her own awakening, discover this. She sat amidst the bopping and the rolling of this, the subway train, and with her eyes faintly closed, she opened the gates within her body, the joints which typically are somewhat closed. And like faucets along a pipeline, she gradually opened them to the flow. She allowed, she simply willed this, the energy to flow in, and as she jostled, as the subway wobbled, the energy, it did flow in. When she was complete this trance, this delicious energy dance, she miraculously, synergistically, simultaneously arrived at her subway stop. And as she ascended the steep, dark staircase out into the light, she noticed the ease within her body. She noticed this with sheer delight. For the pipelines within her body, they were clear without a gap. The former blockages in her pathways, they were gone without a trace. When she entered the studio, the sacred space where she rehearsed, she warmed up as she always did before, and yet this time felt different. For the ease with which she moved, she had never experienced this before. There was an energy now. She could feel this. A powerful energy that had not been there before. She danced with ease, she danced with fluidity, she danced with grace itself. For when I am in grace, I am not in stress. There is no tension. This too became her mantra, sacred words she silently spoke to remind her what the truth is, to remind her her way home. There was something about the belly. This she innately knew. Her first ever boyfriend, he had shown her this. On a dock amidst the shipyards, one sunny day in New York City, he gently lifted up their shirts and he simply touched their flesh. He touched them, belly to belly, and in his tenderness he quietly said, "Doesn't this feel incredible?" And she paused and silently reflected this. If only it was this simple, if only everything was this pure, touching umbilicus to umbilicus, what could this world be? And so, once she had completed opening night and she was on tour from Wuppertal, she realized what she was actually doing. She was touching her audience, belly to belly. And in that silent space was a tender language we all speak, a language without a single word, a language we all do speak. And as she pondered this in quiet time, as she was dancing upon the stage, she delved deeper in her understanding of what this language is. It is the language we have forgotten. It is the language of our souls. It is the language we all contain in us. It is the language we follow home. And as she began to take this seriously, not that she had been lax before, she began to realize there was something sacred here and that she was standing at its door.